I say amen to all those things that have been spoken here this morning. Songs, all has been a blessing for sure. We're sure that the first lie that was ever told to men in the garden is, "Thou shalt not surely die." I mean, that's what the devil told Eve, and he's been building on that lie ever since. And men really don't think they can die. I mean, they really think in their depths of their recesses of their mind that it really can't happen to me. But the scripture is very plain. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, this, the judgment. And there is a second death from whence no man shall recover. Chapter 22 of Matthew. Lord, we bless your name today. And Father, you have taught us well. And we have been poor students. For Lord, how often have we sat in thy school and not learned our lessons very well. And yet, Lord, thou art merciful and faithful in thy teaching to lead us into all truth, even in such times as we have not sought the truth. Yet thou didst see fit in thy mercy to bring the truth to us. And Lord, we pray that we might be a people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who delight in the truth of God. For where else, Lord, can the sons of God find a place of comfort except in thee? For Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? We bless thy name. We wait upon you. And Lord, if you should cast us off, we shall surely perish. Direct our steps this day, O Lord. Help us that we might praise and worship thee in spirit and truth, that our hearts and our minds, Lord, might be fed and told of thee. May all that is false be forgotten, and all that is true be burned upon our hearts and written there with an indelible ink that cannot be erased. Teach us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 22 of Matthew. And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables, as he often did, so that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not hear, but that those whom he is pleased to cause to hear shall hear. Men are unable to hear the things of God except that he teaches us. I mean, we can sit under the preaching of the gospel for our whole life and never learn a thing. Amen. You know, there's no guarantees of anything that because our natural ears are open to hear various things that we're going to ever hear anything. What a mercy it is when the Lord is pleased to cause a man to hear and to believe. And those two things are actually inseparable. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the gift of God. lest any man should boast. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now the Lord taught in these parables, and he enabled men to see certain things, and he kept certain things from them. It has pleased the Lord down through time to give men sometimes a glimpse of the things of God, but not to reveal to them the whole truth. For so it seemed good in his sight. We certainly cannot comprehend how such things work or why he should do such things. Peter speaks of those who, having come and tasted actually the writer of Hebrews, have come up and tasted the things and then fallen away from it, fallen back from it. Peter speaks about those who are like a sow which was washed, have returned to their wallowing in the mire. And so it is not an unusual thing that men should have some religious light in the earth. It is not an unusual thing that men should make professions of faith. And to all apparent understanding that men have about these things cannot be separated from the precious and the vile. That's why the Lord said in one of his parables that the kingdom of heaven was like a field into which the enemy came in the middle of the night and he sowed tares among the wheat. And the wheat and the tares grew up together. And they were so intertwined, he said, that the servant said, Well, let's go and pull the tares out. He said, No, don't take the tares out. He said, Let them both grow together. He said, I'll do the separating when the time comes. And so it's not up to us to do the separating between the tares and the wheat. We don't know who the tares and the wheat are. Now, the Lord does give us indications in the Scripture as to what the truth is, and He's pleased to teach us the truth, and that's what we do, is proclaim the truth. And there is, oftentimes, I remember Farrell Griswold said one time that you could always tell the goats because they were always budding. Now, that's kind of a funny saying, But there is some truth in that, because those that there are many that say they embrace the gospel, but they always want to put some buts in there. I mean, you can say Jesus Christ is the absolute Savior of sinners, and He saves men totally by His own work without any work involved on their part. And there are some that will say, but, well, there's no buts to that. That's an absolute statement. There's no buts needed to be said. And so, we can't know these things. The Lord never sent us to know these things. But He does send us to know that there are such things. He does teach us that there are the tares among the wheat. And this is illustrated here in this particular parable, which the Lord gave. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now, the very first thing that it is absolutely necessary for men to understand concerning the creation of this world and all of those things which God has done, and that is that God has done this for Himself. Now, that makes some folks mad. They don't want to hear that, because they want to believe that God created the world for men. Now, God has blessed men, and He did put men into the world, and He has given us the wherewithal to enjoy in a measure the bounties and the blessings that are in this world. But He has told His people that this world is not our home, and these things that the world counts as blessings are not indeed true blessings, but are temporary things. For those things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And they are those things upon which our heart and mind is set. And we are not those who would be overwhelmed in this world, whether the world, as men would look at it, blesses us or curses us. Whether therefore we live or die, Paul said, we're the Lord's. Doesn't make any difference what should come our way. As we sang in the song there a moment ago, it makes no difference what things should transpire to us. The kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The marriage of the Lamb of God to the Son of the living God is primarily for the glory of the Son. Now, we live in a day and age when a wedding is the bride's day. I mean, that's the way that it's thought of in our society. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing our marriage practices, don't get me wrong. But that's the mindset that we have. But the one who was on display in this culture that spoke of here was not the bride, but the bridegroom. And it was the bridegroom that the people were waiting for. You remember when the ten virgins, the five wise and the five foolish, were waiting. Who were they waiting for? They were waiting for the bridegroom, when the bridegroom comes. And so in the economy of God, the bridegroom trumps the glory of the bride, because the bride in God's work in all of these things, the bride is the one, the bridegroom's the one that gives glory to the bride, not vice versa. Now, in our culture and the way we look at it, the bride is the one who adds beauty to the wedding, but in God's sight, it is the bridegroom, because all things that He has done is for the purpose of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this marriage that he made was for his son. Why do we preach the gospel? Now this has caused a lot of consternation, and a lot of people are very critical of the preaching of sovereign grace, because they say, well, what's the purpose of preaching to men if God has chosen the people and He has determined to save them from before the foundation of the world? Why do you preach? Well, here's the reason we preach, because this is the marriage of the Son. And He sent men into the world to preach and proclaim the glorious work that the bridegroom has done in redeeming to Himself a bride, buying her. And we're declaring that to men. And that is a great comfort to some. It is a glorious thing to those who recognize and desire a part in that kingdom which the bridegroom owns. Amen. That's a glorious thing. And so when we preach the gospel, we're not, our purpose in preaching the gospel is not to save souls. The gospel doesn't save souls. The gospel declares the salvation of Jesus Christ to men. And God's pleased to give men eyes to see it and ears to hear it. And they say, what a glorious sound. What a wonderful thing. Thank God that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so the kingdom of heaven's like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And let us never lose sight that when we preach, when we live our lives, it is for the glory of the Son. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Dear brethren, we're not called to live unto our own glory, to heap to ourselves praise, to cause men to see us and to bask in our ambiance and to fall at our feet and fawn over us, or all of those things. But we are called for one thing, and that is to give glory to Him who has purchased us with His blood. And He sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now the Lord Jesus Christ came here into the midst of the Jewish nation as a Jew. The Scripture says that He came unto His own. Now, who were His own? Well, in that particular context of that Scripture, it speaks about the fact that He came unto the nation of Israel. He came unto His own people, and they received Him not. And He's illustrating that here. He said He sent forth His servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. The Lord did indeed call the nation of Israel. He would have them. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember when He spoke to the woman who came because her daughter was ill? And He said, I'm not sent to thee. What I have to do with the dogs, He said. He said to the woman, well, you're just a dog. What have I got to do with you with a dog? Oh, what a terrible thing to say to somebody. I mean, why you'll turn this woman away. Why, she'll... you call her a dog. Why, she'll... She won't listen to you anymore. And you've ruined every chance you would have ever had of ever saving her soul. No. You see, this woman that came to Him knew what she was. She said, that's true. She said, the dog doesn't have any right to the children's bread. But oh, even the dogs, she said, eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She said, I'm not going to argue with you that I'm a dog and unworthy of anything you could do, but dear Lord, I know that even the dogs can taste of the blessings of God. And so it is. The Lord sent forth His servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and over... What advantage then, Paul says, has the Jew? He said, much in every way, because unto them were chiefly committed the oracles of God. God placed the Word of God into their hands. He put the law of Moses, wrote it into their very culture. If it was possible to come to know the Lord by natural understanding, every Jew on the face of the earth would have been in love with the things of God. Is that not true? Because it was given to them. It was laid in their lap. And the Lord, over and over again, He demonstrated it to them. People say, oh, if I'd have been at the parting of the Red Sea, why, I'd have believed. Well, they didn't. It wasn't long after the parting of the Red Sea that they were worshiping a golden calf. They didn't believe. Now, is the Lord, is He showing that He's against Israel? No, He's using Israel to demonstrate to the world what all men are by nature. Because He says, here is the very ones that were bidden to the feast, called to the feast, given every opportunity, if you want to call it that, to come to the feast, and they said, I'm not going. He sent forth others. He didn't just send one. He sent them over and over and over again. Think of all the prophets that came to the nation of Israel, preaching the truth, telling them the things of God. And they killed the prophets. They imprisoned the prophets. They didn't want anything to do with the prophets. So is it any wonder that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, the true prophet of God, the one by whom the Lord spoke in the end of the age, is it any wonder that they turned a deaf ear to Him as well? And is it any wonder that any of us, by nature, in and of ourselves, should do the same thing? No, we're no different than the Jews. They had every advantage. The Gentiles had none. But the Lord would show that Jew and Gentile alike are lost, without help and without hope. He said, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. Now there are those that tell us that if we'll plead long enough and get the right man. You got to have the right man, you understand? He's got the ability, and he knows how to tell a story that'll grip people's hearts and make them cry and carry on. And you got to get it just right, and you can get folks to come to the marriage. If you just get the method right, you can do it. The Lord sent him. He sent them. He said, I've prepared my dinner. Come to the marriage. Come. Won't you come? Dear brethren, men will not come. The Lord said to the Pharisees, ye will not come to me that you might have life. You won't do it. What'd they do? They made light of it. It was a joke to them. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They had important things to do, you understand. I mean, the things of this world are far more important than the things of God in the minds of the natural man. Is that not true? It's true with us. Even those of us that profess to love Him with all of our heart, we find ourselves valuing the things of this world more than the things of God from time to time. By the grace of God, He does send His Spirit to convince us and convict us of those things in His own time. Well, brethren, we're no different. They made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. He said, we don't want to listen to them. His own family. The Lord Jesus, when he came speaking the truth, his own family said, that's just Jesus. He said, a prophet hath no honor except, a prophet hath no, is not without honor except in his own country. You know, an expert, somebody comes in from the outside. People listen to them. Oh, they're smart. Why? Well, because we don't know them. They got to be smart. I mean, we know so-and-so. I mean, we've been around him all our life. He can't be smart. We know he's not smart, and they're right. A prophet's not without honor except in his own country. And then they took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. They said, we don't want to listen to what they got to say. Our opinion's as good as theirs is. And they're right. All the opinions of men are the same value. Now, all men's opinions about the same subject are not all equal, but all men's opinions are the same, of the same sort. Now, the opinion of a brain surgeon, if you've got a brain tumor, is better than my opinion about what you ought to do. But our opinions about things in general are all the same. And when we get to opining without a basis for what we're saying, then we don't have any basis upon which to stand. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now, I believe, personally, that this is a reference to what became of the Jews in 70 A.D. I believe this is the Lord is prophetically speaking here. He's speaking about the Jews who he came to his own, and they wouldn't receive him. And so he said, so he destroyed them. Lock, stock, and barrel. Destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. He was right, they were not worthy. So he said, I'm going to put people in this wedding not on the basis of worthiness. Because you see, if anybody would have been worthy, it would have been those to whom the Lord committed the oracles of God, would it not? Those who had every opportunity and the truth of God put before them. But he said they were not worthy. Even though to men they would seem to be the most worthy. Now that's how men look at how God looks at things. We think, well, so-and-so, he's at least more worthy than so-and-so. I mean, you know, a man that feeds the poor, he's more worthy than the man that's robbing folks, yeah. I mean, he's more worthy, isn't he? But you see, in the kingdom of God, there's no difference. Because the thing that's in the heart of men is the same. And apart from the grace of God constraining a man to walk in the way of God, he won't do it. So he's not made worthy because of what he does. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Now you notice he didn't say, go and get them all. He didn't say go and tear people's down, put houses down and snatch them out and drag them out by the shirt collar. Drag them kicking and screaming. What did he say? He said, go therefore into the highways and as many as ye shall find. You see, the preaching of the gospel is like that. It's preached to as many as can be found. Not everybody can be found. Some folks are hiding under a log somewhere. They can't be found. You remember when you was playing hide and seek, and sometimes you could find you a place to hide, and nobody could find you. And you could get the most enjoyment out of having people, the game was over, and everybody's running around. Well, where's he at? And you was just laughing inside because you knew you had your hiding place. Well, there is folks that's hid just like that from the gospel. They're not going to be found. The Lord said, go to as many as you can find. Bid them to the marriage. Oh, you see, the gospel's a message to sinners. And we proclaim the message of the gospel to sinners. And we bid them come to the marriage. We bid them to look to Christ, that one who has spread the feast, that one who is the Savior of sinners, that one who is indeed the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're not out here with a hoe trying to keep them back or a rake or something, you know, folks is trying to come and we're trying to keep them back. No, we're going to as many as we can find. We're proclaiming the truth. We're bidding men to come to the marriage. He says, go ye therefore into the highways, many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found. What? Both bad and good. He got the bad and the good. Now we don't, I mean, you know, we understand that we're unworthy, but we don't like to think of ourselves as just lump us all in the bad and the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, but that's what he did. See, men wouldn't do it like that. But the Lord gathered the good and the bad. That's why he said to the Pharisees, he said, the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of heaven before you do. Because, you see, he gathers the good and the bad. Because they're all sinners. Those that men call good and those that men call bad. The bad and the good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, this is a fearful thing, dear brethren. And my heart breaks within me to declare this truth. But there are among the people of God those that are, for all intents and purposes, as far as anybody that was at the wedding could tell, they was all just part of the wedding. But the Lord can tell. You see, when the king came, he looked around the room and he said, wait a minute. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For there be many that shall say unto me, Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in thy name? And he shall say unto them, depart from me, I never knew. And so it is a somber thing, but a reminder, dear brethren, that it's not by might, it's not by the activity of men, it's not by the way of men, it's not by our reliance upon our own inclusion in the kingdom of God. Some would say, well, why do you speak so much about doubting and this? I mean, we need to encourage one another. And sure, we encourage one another. But dear brethren, we encourage one another, and we encourage one another to examine ourselves, to see that we be in the faith, that our faith is not that which is just some trumped up thing or something wherein we say, well, we've just been a Christian all our life. That's too long. Brother Barnard said one time to a woman, she said, well, I've always been a Christian. He said, honey, that's too long. Nobody's always been a Christian. You see, the Lord is the one who puts wedding garments on His people, and the wedding garments is the righteousness of Christ. And none shall be left in the wedding who is not clothed in that righteousness alone. You see, there's no adornments to that righteousness because none are needed. We don't add a flower or a star or some beads or some earrings or something to enhance it. It's Christ. And Christ alone. He is the wedding garment of His people. And He was speechless. Dear brethren, there is nothing for a man to say in the day when the Lord comes to judge the quick and the dead. Many shall be called as He has called to the multitudes in a measure. Now there's a call which is the call, but there is a call which has gone out as it went out to the Jews, is what He spoke of here. He said they were called, but they were not chosen. Oh, to be found in the Lord. Not by our own power, not by our own understanding, not by our own effort, but by the mercy of Almighty God. He alone can fit men for that wedding feast. And He does. Because you see, it's a wedding that's prepared for the Son. And the Son said, I know My sheep, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never die. What a glorious thing. Dear brethren, we are rejoicing this day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now what world did He love? The world that He loved was the world which was not wrapped up in Judaism. You see, the Lord loved the world that whosoever, Jew or Gentile alike, believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, to be found. There's an old song I've heard before, oh, to be robed and ready. Robed and ready. What is our robe? The righteousness of Christ. I don't want to be covered in anything else. Oh, that all of our self-righteousness might fall away and we might be found covered in the blood and the righteousness of Christ. For there is no other wedding garment that is acceptable at that.